Hi there, my name is Amara, and you are listening to Happiness 101 podcast. And here we're talking about the things that matter. After a number of strange coincidences and a lifetime of meditation, two phenomenal systems such as Human Design and Jane Keys, unlocking people's amazing potential, spreading awareness and happiness became my life's work. Anything to wake you up. So stay with me, alert and relaxed. Today in the podcast Happiness 101, I'm talking to Paul Fishman, a self-love coach, an amazing human being. So, do you still believe it is selfish to love yourself? And start with this love before trying to love anyone else? Stay tuned, listen to Paul's journey, and you will change your mind, I can promise you that. I first heard Paul speak at one of my favorite podcasts with James Wedmore, where Paul was sharing his journey on how to be your authentic self, how to overcome your fears and struggles, and what is at the roots of all those negative patterns. At that time, I did not even have a podcast, but I was fascinated to listen to that conversation. And when I heard Paul talk about human design, I was like, this is a sign. And at that time, I did not know what kind of sign it was. I just knew it was, period. And later on, when my podcast Happiness 101 came to life, I knew I would love to have Paul as a guest on my podcast, if he would agree, of course. And he did, the sweetest person that he is. So what is self-love? And why is it so important? You will find it out very soon. And meanwhile, let me tell you about Paul Fishman through human design terms just a little bit. So Paul is a sacral manifesting generator 2-4, responding to life through his gut, being this huge magnet for opportunities and people, united people under one breath pattern. And this is a really cool one, which I've taken from his Jane Keys. And I love it when I say it to people somehow. So Paul also has a design of a hermit, who takes care of his privacy and to whom it is very important to be left alone on a daily basis. These are amazing networkers when they are called out into the world. And yes, they need to be called out. Otherwise, these are people who would like to keep their gift they came into this world to share with under the radar, hidden in the cave. So they don't even think of it as a gift because it is something that comes very natural to them. But once someone sees it, they recognize it and drag it out of them. So that's how it's supposed to be for them. That gift is very important to this world's transformation. And this is what Paul has been doing, sharing his gift through self-love awareness. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Paul Fishman. You're going to love him. I was, first time I heard you on James Wedmore's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fell in love with your personality first. I'm just listening, and this self-love, and these are the subjects that I'm trying to spread as well through human design. And then you mentioned human design. I was like, oh my God. Then my all other antennas started working more than I went to your Instagram. And I just loved what I saw. And I'm so grateful that you said yes to the interview. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
And talking about self-love is like, that's an endless conversation, which
I know.
I like.
Well, I'm ready for an endless conversation.
Like, you are a self-love coach, right?
Yes. Yes.
I love the way it sounds. I've never heard it before. I mean, I've heard all kinds of variations of self-love, but I've never heard about self-love coach before. So what self-loving did you today? If it is morning, you're in California right now, right?
Yeah, it's 7:30 at night.
Okay.
It's in the evening.
So I presume there has been a lot of self-loving.
A lot of self-loving. Well, today was a really beautiful day for me. I woke up early. Spent some time with my puppy Hatcher, who is so gorgeous. He's so sweet. And I normally sleep in, but I woke up early today. I felt really invigorated. And Tuesdays are normally a very busy day for me because it's the day that I have my group coaching call in my program.
Okay.
So preparing for that, I got a haircut. So that's some self-love,
all
self-care.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
especially
very neat.
For this. And then I had a dance party today. Dancing is like my number one self-care, self-love moment. So after I got out of the shower, I danced and shook off all the water. Mm-hmm. And then I just did like my skincare routine and always looking in the mirror and telling myself that I'm just full of gratitude for where I am. And the interesting thing about, you know, self-love for me is that it's a mental thing and self-care is all about physical. So a lot of it's telling you more physical movement or beautiful moments. And the thing for me is like, it's important that I'm also conscious of the gratitude inside of my body for being able to move, being able to have access to clean water to shower in, being able to have beautiful products to put on my skin, being able to afford to get my hair cut. These types of things are big pieces of gratitude for me that are really important in my self-love practice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so, you mentioned dancing is one of your favorites.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine
yeah.
too. I dance whenever I get a chance.
I'm dancing right
something,
now.
Yeah. Something about, I believe that when we say self-love is mental, I completely agree. It starts mm-hmm. there, right? But mm-hmm. when we actually put it down into the body cells and we start expressing that mentality through the body, something completely alchemical happens, I think.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true. And I like to think that self-care and self-love are two separate things, but they cannot operate without one another. If I'm doing body movement, which is a self-care practice, and I'm thinking negative thoughts, I feel like those contradict. But if I'm thinking of love and excitement and feeling happy and feeling the endorphins and mm-hmm. being grateful for the way my body moves, mm-hmm. then that is a true self-care moment. Because mm-hmm. self-care cannot happen without self-love.
Yeah. Does it happen when the body moves and the mind goes, what are you doing? I'm not in the mood right now to move.
That's an interesting question. That's the thing about the body and the mind is that, and Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this a mm-hmm. lot, that yeah. the body is the unconscious mind. So I like to think that if our mind is trying to keep our body from moving, it might be because we've been comfortable not moving. For instance, a lot of my clients will come to me and be like, you know, I have a goal to love myself enough to get myself to the gym, or I have a goal to love myself enough to look in the mirror and just like do a little shimmy shake while I'm up mm-hmm. out of the shower or something. And ultimately, my goal is to support my clients knowing that your brain at first is going to be resistant to the mm-hmm. work, because your brain's job is to keep your body safe and comfortable. And a lot of us are feeling safe and comfortable in self-loathing, in self-hatred, in fear of failure, in not living our truth, not living our life to the fullest. Mm-hmm. So when your brain is like, oh, that movement, I don't like it, I would prompt you to check in and say, is that true? Or do I really like this movement, but it just doesn't feel normal to my body, which has been comfortable not moving?
Mm-hmm. Wow. When you say the body is our unconscious mind, that kind of really shook me up right now.
Yeah.
Because in human design, we have this profile where that there are two lines, two numbers of the profile. So the first number, and we'll find out who you are after we interview. The first number is our personality. So personality can act like we know our personality very well, right? We know what we like, sort of, and et cetera, et cetera. But then the other number in the profile is actually our body. So the mind says, I'm an outgoing person, but the body says, oh my God, I'm a hermit. I need to stay in. Don't touch me. So these kind of contradictory things, they happen a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's really important to know that, but also No, I like the idea of human design. I have some friends who are so caught up in I am a project a splenic projector. So you have to invite me everywhere and you have to say it exactly right. And I'm gonna give all this stuff to you and you have to receive it. And I'm just like, listen, I was like, I'm grateful for this information, but please, can we be humans for a second? But that might just be the manifesting generator in me.
Actually, you are touching a very important topic for me because for a long time, human design did not speak to me because of that. Because it was taken as a, not as a tool for liberation, but it was taken as another constitution to follow with certain amendments, but it's a constitution and I'm very rigid. Yes, it's like I always tell my clients and people who are interested, is that your human design is your problem. If you are a projector, people don't have to invite you. People need to want to invite you.
Yes.
So, if you are an emotional person or you are not emotional, the responsibility is on the person who knows. There is the world doesn't stop just because you are living your design, because everybody's living something.
Right,
So it's like
right.
taking this edge off it and actually creating a liberation tool. That has been my journey, and it's really funny. Thank you so much for mentioning this.
You're welcome. It's been such a journey to navigate that and with this person. So
Yeah.
thank you.
And a fellow manifesting generator from a fellow manifesting generator.
We're the best.
Yes, we are. And so is everybody else, right?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I also wanted, like, I was so curious about your journey, Paul. And I'm sure you've come a long way because what I see right now is this jolly, fun, and beautiful person out and in. And it's just so easy. It's like I've known you forever. And I'm really curious to know a little bit about your path, maybe not a little bit, because I know you've been asked this question a lot. But I
Yeah.
really know how this all came to be in your life. Like what brought on this topic and what shift happened that made you a self-love coach? Like what's the story?
Right. What's the story, Morning Glory?
Yeah.
That's I've been really unpacking a lot of my journey recently. And ultimately, I became a self-love coach as like a as a because prior to being a self-love coach, I worked in the fitness industry.
Okay.
And I was a personal trainer, nutrition coach, spin instructor, Pilates instructor. And everyone who came to me said, I want to lose weight or I want to get in shape so that someone outside of myself will honor and value me. Whether it's like, so this person will fall in love with me, or I can get a better job, or I can get more likes on Instagram, or whatever it might be, right? And one day I woke up and I had this aha moment. I said to myself, if anyone is coming to a coach to look for external validation as the within the transformation, you have to that transformation is not going to stick. You have to do it for yourself. So I realized at that point that I was doing all of these people a disservice by saying, yeah, I'll give you the nutrition plan, I'll tell you when to go to the gym, and we'll work out together without telling them, hey, wake up in the morning and write down what you're grateful for. Wake up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror, and say, I give myself permission to be okay with where I am, right? Like I honor my journey and I know that I'm doing my very best and I love and accept you. So this ultimately brought me to this fork in the road where my body was really begging me to stop in with this whole fitness journey because I had worn myself down. I was going through adrenal fatigue. I was on the brink of injury. And I said, I want to help people learn how to love themselves. And all of it came very quickly. And it was an easy transition because I had already been in the space of being a coach and I had already been in the space of empowering and inspiring people with my journey. So when I stepped into this path and started telling my self-love journey, I started uncovering a lot of it and like connecting the dots. In retrospect, I see a lot of the times in my life when I didn't love myself, when I sacrificed myself for others. Mm-hmm. I was a people pleaser through and through. And the catalyst of my self-love journey, and for me, self-love is the devotion to your individuality. So the catalyst for me getting devoted to who I am as an individual, not the person that my parents wanted me to be, or the person that I thought my parents wanted me to be, not the person that my boss wanted me to be, or the person I thought my boss wanted me to be, because a lot of these things were stories that were living in my head that I developed anxiety about, because anxiety is specifically worrying about things we cannot change. And I cannot change what others think of me, nor do I know what others think of me unless they share it with me. So here I was, this is coming up on 10 years ago. And I was kind of at, I was at rock bottom. I was living in New York City, so all the way across the country. And I was working a job that didn't serve me. I was in a relationship that did not make me happy. I was just trying to live my life in this guise of this person that I thought other people wanted me to be. So it was all self-created. And I think that it's important to note that, that all of my misery and all of my pain came from me trying to be something that I thought people wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. And really the reality is that everyone just wants you to be happy. And if they don't want you to be happy, then there's something going on, right? So I say that as a moment in time because it's really easy to fall into the blame game. It's really easy for me to point my fingers out at all these humans, my parents, my friends, my boss, my teachers, my siblings, whomever told me subconsciously that I needed to be something, modeled something. It's really easy for me to point my fingers out and blame them for all the pain and the suffering I went through. But the real change happened when I pointed my fingers back at myself and I said, Paul, what can you do right here and now to step into your true power and your true happiness? What can you do right now? So at that point, I stepped, broke up with the person that I was dating at that time. Mm-hmm. I left the job that I was working and I called my parents and I said, I need a fresh start. And at the age of 29, I moved from New York City. I lived there for almost 6 years. I had built an amazing career there. Mm-hmm. I moved back in with my parents. And it was one of the most challenging things that I've ever done. But not because it was hard. It was because it was exactly what I needed to do. And we live in this society where we're told that our happiness comes at a price, right? And that our happiness, it has to be invested in other people. And that is not true. That is not true at all. I believe that happiness can only come from within. And that's what I teach all of my clients, is that yes, you can say you're doing this for your partner, you can say you're doing this for your kids, but you have to do it for yourself first. And that was it. Now I live my life. I say, okay, I have these people around me that I love and I care for. But if I'm not showing up for myself every single day, doing the self-care practice, loving myself, checking in, saying, does this align with my truth? And the reality is that I'm still trying to align with my truth every single day, unpacking it, peeling back the onion layers of what is my truth every single day. If I'm toxically silencing myself for others, then I am only doing them a disservice, because then I'm not showing up as my truest self. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair to anyone. Extremely unfair to me, but really not fair to anyone.
And what I like about this journey is that it is endless, right? This is what keeps us alive.
Yeah, self-love is not finite. Yeah. It is not finite at all. Yeah. In my my program, I created a what I call the self-love success path. And it's a five-step path to self-love. However, you would think that a path is a straight line from A to Z. Mm-hmm. But if you've seen those memes on Instagram where it's like the entrepreneur thinks that a path of success is from one to the, but it's really all these squiggly lines.
That's I've seen that.
The process of the self-love success path, it is a heart shape, because you start at the bottom of the heart and then you move around and up and down, and then you smooth into self-love, but self-love bumps right back in to the first piece of the journey, which is self-discovery, because we're always rediscovering ourselves. How boring would it be to be the same person every single day for the rest of your life? Like, I'm sure you weren't always into human design, right? Nope. You've been on that journey yourself. So, and it's just like, we're in this generation, we're breaking the mold of having to be the same thing over and over and over every single day. Like, this is the generation that my parents come from, the generation of be good at one thing and master it fully. I love doing so many things, but all with the umbrella of self-love, which I think is so potent and powerful.
Yeah. And I think it is a choice as well, just like happiness, right? Mm-hmm. It's a choice right that second, right now, I'm choosing to be happy and I'm choosing to love myself. And what comes out from the choice, then the steps can be taken. But we have to get rooted in that moment and make that conscious choice.
Yeah. And I have to say that I think that self-love comes before happiness, because ultimately, like, when I truly, truly believe that self-love is the foundation of everything, because if I'm here and I'm saying I'm happy, but I don't love myself, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
If I say I love myself, then I can be anything and do anything that I want, because I'm doing it for me.
Yeah.
So, because when you're saying, you know, it's a choice to be happy, I do agree. But then, you know, of course, there are outliers like mental health and, you know, clinical depression and things like this, where if I have clients who come to me with these types of issues or just illnesses that have been diagnosed, it's always my hope and dream that I get them to just look in the mirror and say, depression, anxiety, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for showing up, because all of these things are coping mechanism. This is the only way that our body can function. If there is some, and this is karmically how we've been built to live our life. So when I just today I brought a new client on, and she came to me with disordered eating patterns.
Okay.
And she said, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to fix this. And I said, have you ever considered sending so much love to the disordered eating, saying, thank you so much for protecting me. Thank you so much for allowing me to continue living this life the only way I knew how, because you protected me from these feelings that I couldn't handle. And I am so grateful for that. Thank you. I love you. Thank you so much. Because when you send love into anything, what it always brings back is understanding. And then you can move into forgiveness. So of course, you know, you can hear this and be like, I'm going to love all of my disorders. I'm going to love my anxiety. It's not that easy, but it's definitely a concept that I would empower you to consider and start thinking about.
Yeah, actually, when we send love to our problems, right? Like disorders, whatever, we acknowledge them. We don't resist them, because whatever we resist, it persists, right? Mm-hmm. So we kind of invite it at the table and say, let's talk. I see you. I love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, I mean, love is such a force.
It really is.
It can eliminate and illuminate and enlighten anything.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. And what I really enjoy about love is that I also think that love is defined by an individual, right? The way that I show up with love might not be the way that you show up with love. You know, I think that, you know, love is compassionate, love is forgiving, love at its beautiful raw state is unconditional. But love for me is different than the love that like my puppy shows up with.
Yeah.
And love for me is different than the love that my husband shows up with. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's just, I think that in this day and age, it's really important to not prescribe to anyone's definition of anything unless it aligns with you. And I'm speaking of the way that you think about yourself. Mm-hmm. That's why, once again, my definition of self-love is the devotion to your individuality.
That's so beautiful. That is really nice. You know, for my online course in human design, there is one self-hypnosis that I created throughout the whole course of 8 weeks. They have to do the self-love hypnosis. And you have no idea how much resistance I got at first. Like, I love myself.
Of course.
Because people say, I love myself. You see how I buy myself beautiful clothes. I have this amazing job and I have this amazing family. I love myself. But you look at this person and you just want to hug them, you know, and say, okay. Because what is a first step towards self-love? And what is self-love in its for you?
Mm-hmm. I think that the first step to self-love is just noticing when you aren't in alignment with yourself.
Mm.
It's self-love, of course, it's not finite. It's a never-ending journey. But for me, and I believe that when, you know, there are external noises that are loud, gotta listen up. This message is for you, listeners. That doorbell is that's God knocking on your door. Hello.
Yeah.
Self-love. And here's the thing. When it comes to the first step, like for me, my first step was realizing that I couldn't do it anymore. Like I had to hit rock bottom. I was 75 pounds bigger than I am today. I was in massive financial crisis. Mm-hmm. I was working a job that didn't serve me. I was having an identity crisis. I didn't know who I was. That was the first step in self-love.
Mm-hmm.
Because I noticed that I wasn't aligned with my truth. So right here now, if you're listening to this and you can relate to that feeling of looking in the mirror and just feeling like, what's the point? What's the point of brushing my teeth, going to work, coming back home? Why? Like, what's the why? That's your first step. Because mm-hmm. once you notice that something isn't right, then you have the power to say, I am going to change within me to bring magic back into my life.
Mm-hmm.
Or bring it in for the first time, because sometimes we're born this way. We're conditioned to think that, you know, and the thing about it is like our parents didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Our parents didn't know. I believe that as a soul, we choose the family that we are destined to be with. So the family that I grew up with and call my family, that was the soul. My soul was called to be a part of that family because I had lessons to learn. I had sacrifices to make and ultimately had to go through so much pain and struggle so that I could end up where I am today, just as like abundant force of love and compassion and empathy. And I believe that my greatest gift is being able to create a safe space for anyone, to create ultimate instant trust, because I have zero judgment. And I live in the space of trying to release any expectation. And there will be, you know, trained psychologists saying, well, all humans have judgment, all humans have expectation. And yes, but I personally feel that when I'm with someone who needs something of me that will allow me to step into my purpose and my power, that I can turn those things off. For instance, today I had a potential client call, and she had rescheduled once, and intuitively I knew that she wasn't ever going to sign up because reschedulers reschedule.
Okay.
But also, also, our call was set and she didn't answer the phone. And I was like, okay, Paul, why are you wasting your time? Like, this is a thing. And then she texted me and she said, Paul, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'm so full of anxiety. I tried to cancel. I'm sorry. And I just responded. I just closed my eyes and surrounded her with light and said, you are exactly where you are meant to be. And in between that line is also me knowing that rejection is protection. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not at a place where I want to, I'm willing to support people who need that much coaxing to even get on the phone. Mm. Also knowing that people will suffer for as long as they're willing to suffer. I said earlier, anxiety is just worrying, the worrying about what things you cannot control.
Yeah.
So if I really wanted to get into it with her, I'd be like, what's going on? What's the worst that could happen? What's happening? What's going to happen if you get on the phone with me? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to actually have to talk about what's going on, and I'm going to actually have to change, and I'm actually going to work. Right. And that's, once again, her brain is trying to keep her body comfortable in the anxiety.
Yeah.
And that was ultimately, like, she wasn't ready. But when people apply to my program, it's a long process to get on the phone with me. I mean, you even saw scheduling a call with me. It was booked out for a while, right?
Yeah.
You have to apply to my program. You have to then get approved. Then you have to receive an email from my assistant.
Yeah.
Then you have to book a call, and then you have to actually show up for the call. What I remind people right when they get on the phone is, you have done so much work already to be on this phone call with me. I am celebrating you so deeply right now. And it blows people's minds. They're like, wait, no, I just answered the phone. No, you did so much. You said yes to yourself. You answered questions about yourself. You hit apply. Like, I think 10% of people who actually visit my application actually hit the apply button. 10%. Mm-hmm. And so the other 90% maybe filled it out to the end. People have filled it out 3, 4, 5 times before they hit submit. It's a big deal. It is such a big deal to say, mm-hmm. I'm ready to love myself. And moreover, I need support doing it.
That is so true. Because I've been having that feeling also when I went to apply for the appointment, as you said, this breakthrough call. And I saw that there is an opening for Wednesday, like now. And then the next opening is in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, today was a very busy day for me. I was like, but can I? But then I said, no, 2 weeks is too far. I'm going to make this happen since
right.
You replied. And that was actually, this is also self-love. This is also self-care. Mm-hmm. This is also the inquiry that you do not postpone because it matters. Because something important is there. And we don't always need to understand what exactly important is happening, right? Otherwise, our mental state is starting to analyze, to review, to doubt whatever mind is made for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very happy that I did this. And I'm very happy that I wrote to you again, because I understand that a lot of times when people don't reply, it doesn't mean they don't love you or they don't care about you. Because things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Internet happens and busyness happens and different things happen in life, and so applying self-care to yourself and self-love to yourself is actually caring about the other person. So I wanted to touch this subject, ask you, like, a lot of people say that self-love is egotistical and they confuse it with selfishness. So what can you say about that?
Oh, I mean, I can say a lot, but I will. The reality is that those people who are calling you selfish for saying yes to yourself, whether it be staying home when you're all your friends want to go out, or saying, you know what, honey, I need to take a bubble bath right now. Are you willing to watch the kids? I know you had a long day at work, but I've been with the kids all day. I need support. Right? These are things where on the outside, people may be like, oh, they're being so selfish. But if if someone says that to me, what I'm receiving from them is that they wish that they had the courage to ask for what they want. Because we all walk around all day long not able to ask for what we want. Yeah. It is so hard because we're so scared of what the other person is going to say. Yeah. What if they reject me? So instead we say nothing. And so we say nothing and it just eats us up inside.
Yeah.
And that is, so if someone is telling you that you're being selfish, know that that has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the other person.
Absolutely.
And surround them with love and just be a leader. Today on the group call for my program, we were talking all about this concept of how do I change other people? How do I, you know, without just being like sacrificing so much of myself, be like, you're doing this wrong and you're messing up and please change for your good, for your good. And I said, you can't change anyone. And we know this. Everyone knows you can't change anyone but yourself. I said, all you have to do is show up for yourself. And this interesting concept was brought to my attention today. Checking with yourself as to where, if you are in integrity with yourself, right? If you are showing up in integrity for yourself. Because I found, for instance, like if a client is overdue for a payment or I'm owed some money from somewhere, I will check in and be like, okay, Paul, is there anywhere that you owe money that you are out of integrity, or are you late on a bill, or is there something that's going on? Because when I am not in integrity, it'll ultimately, like, I'll make that payment and then within minutes I'll receive a payment from the client.
So I
just share this in the idea that instead of focusing so deeply on other people's issues, how can you realign with your truest self and focus on the things that you want to change about you? It's so much easier to focus on other people. It's so much easier to tell someone they're being selfish for saying no to you. But ultimately, what you want is to say no back to them, right? You want to be like, actually, no, I want to take the bubble bath. Okay, well, great. Let's talk. Let's have a dialogue. Maybe can I take a 30-minute bubble bath and then you take a 30-minute bubble bath? We'll switch up. I would love to support you doing that, right? Yeah. And these are things that we're just scared to say.
Yeah,
we're scared to say what we need because we're worried the other person is going to react poorly. And if you enter the conversation with love and acceptance, vulnerability, and also I love phrases like, are you willing to? Or, hey, I'm showing up. I would like to have a vulnerable conversation with you. I'm going to ask something of you. I'm scared to ask this of you. Mm-hmm. I also want you to know that this has nothing to do with you, and it's everything to do with me owning my emotions. I love leading a conversation with that because it takes all the ownership away from the other person and puts it all on you. These are my emotions. They have nothing to do with you, but you are a direct impact of how I feel. So I want to share that with you. And my favorite thing to say is, hey, the story that I'm telling myself, for instance, like maybe if the story that I'm telling myself is you didn't respond to the email because you don't like me and you actually don't want to do the interview. Mm-hmm. Is there any truth to that, Paul? Now, of course, like if we had like, I would have like gotten so excited if that was what you responded to, if you responded to me like that. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, absolutely not. I lost track of it and email inbox, bye. But I love using that because it allows me to express how I'm feeling and it gives the other person an opportunity to express how they're feeling without shame, without judgment. Yeah. And it's just so beautiful, owning your emotions and your feelings. I just love it so much.
And it's like people don't feel threatened anymore after you express your feelings. They don't feel threatened that this pistol is aiming at them.
So. Right. But it's really important to make sure that the person knows that it's not an attack on them. It's hey, I'm scared to share this with you because I'm the story that I'm telling myself is that you are going to be angry with me. However, what I need to share this with you so that you and I can be realigned and can communicate on a deeper level. And it's just, it's so powerful because, like I said, it puts up this, like, it releases any ownership of the other person. They can just be an entity to receive what you're saying with love. Yeah. And then you can go back and forth, and it takes practice. It takes a lot of time. It's not, and it's really you being okay saying those things.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, my sister leaves her two little kids and goes skiing. And to anybody who tells her anything, she says, look, my children need a happy mother. So that's my answer to all your, how could you leave your kids alone? You know, they need their mom. They need their happy mom. And I completely support that.
And all those people that are judging her and asking that question wish that they could do the same. And what they really want to ask is, how do you do that without feeling guilt and shame?
Yes.
But instead, they just pass judgment.
Yeah.
Because that's how we've been conditioned.
Yeah. And why do you think people struggle so much with self-love? I mean, we are born with self-love. In human design, we say we don't change. Actually, we go back to our nature because our nature is a entity, a person who is loving already. Babies love themselves. So why do you think people struggle so much with this?
That's a great question. I don't think that it's something that can be generalized to just one answer.
Okay.
I think that it has to do with so many different traumas and conditionings and the media and expectation and ancestral trauma, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I've been doing a lot of work with my ancestry and clearing a lot of traumatic things that didn't happen to me, but have been passed down my lineage and affect me deeply, 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 deeply.
Yeah.
And it's, and a lot of it has to do just with, you know, my great, great grandparents fleeing from the Ukraine due to famine. And so this feeling of sacrifice via starvation was passed down through my lineage. So you see it in my parents, well, my father specifically, when he is sacrificing himself, it's, I'm not going to eat, right? When he's working really hard, I'm not going to eat. And I noticed this pattern inside of me. I'm like, I'm not going to eat because I'm suffering. I'm suffering for a hard day, sacrificing. So every day I have a picture of my ancestors in my office. I look at them and I just thank them. I say, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for everything that you went through so that I can be here today. Your story is not mine. I am abundant. I don't need to starve. It is not part of my story. So that's really beautiful for me to be able to share that journey and also know that it's not all your fault. Like, your feelings of self-loathing or self-hatred, like, are not all your fault. But the one thing I can say is that you have complete control over whether those feelings start today or they stop today.
Yeah. You mentioned a picture of your ancestors, like a picture of your grandparents or?
Yeah, my great-great-grandparents.
Oh my God, you have a picture of your great-great-grandparents?
Uh-huh.
How did it happen?
I don't know. It was taken.
What to do if people don't have that picture, but they also want to work with ancestors?
Well, you don't need the picture. I was lucky enough to have some distant relatives who had a picture.
Mm-hmm.
It can, if you have the ability to receive a picture, it was basically like me creating an altar. So if it's not, whether it was just a picture of like an old photo of the Ukraine or ultimately me, like I'm feeling called to travel to the Ukraine, actually like step foot on the soil, feel the ground, like, like there's lots of pain that's experienced in that country. And and I'm just like thanking the land for, you know, like being such a long part of my heritage. So if you don't have a picture, it's fine. It's, and this work is, I did it, it's called ancestral constellation work. And it's basically, it's really, really beautiful. And I'm actually going to be hosting a retreat in San Diego this coming October, so a year from now, with ancestral constellation. And what it looks like is, if you're familiar with shadow work, where you do a lot of the work from the inside, ancestral constellation is like the complete opposite of that. So people come together and almost like a play, you step onto an energetic, you step onto an energetic field and you act out. And it's so beautiful. It's also mind-boggling.
It's incredible. It's Family Constellations by Bert Hellinger. I've been doing that as well. And it's amazing that all the topics, all the things that you are saying, they're completely in line with what I'm going through.
Well, that's just beautiful because you are not alone. And if you're experiencing this, then so many other people are experiencing this.
I mean, the information field is one, right? So we pick up the same things when we are aligned with certain people in certain places. And I actually created recently an ancestral meditation support, meditation. And I was just passing it on to people, whoever wanted to do some meditation on that.
Beautiful.
It's amazing. And I also wanted to ask you, I know that you've been working with a nutritionist and it's like going from the mind, from the spirit to the body. And it's been also my journey recently to get removing parasites and how important it is actually to have a clean body. Because my idea of dieting all the time was the body knows what it wants. But then when I found out about the parasites, I was like, okay, so who is really craving this cake, right? And I started my journey. It goes very slowly. But when I saw that you are going through that, I'd like to know more, like, how is it going for you? And what's the journey so far?
Plugging in my computer, about to die. We can edit this part.
It's okay.
Okay. So I'm so happy you asked this question, and it'll be interesting to see if something that I share has come into your energetics recently. So I started, so since I was a very young boy, at around the age of 10, I started gaining a lot of weight. I was always an active kid. I had a quote unquote normal body, you know, just thin, athletic. And then at the age of 10, I started gaining a lot of weight. I know why now, but at that point it was just like, why is Paul gaining weight? And because of the shame around the weight gain, I would emotionally eat. And within that emotional eating, I would just put on more weight. Now, when at that point, at very low point, energetically, I feel that at the age of 10 is when the parasites entered my body. Okay. So the thing to know about parasites is that, yes, it's a physical entity, but they're just, all things are just energetics, right? So energetically, I had an open space for these parasites to enter. How they entered, where they physically came from, I don't know. I don't really think that matters. So I didn't know that I had parasites until this past July. So I lived 25 years of my life with these parasites in my body, unbeknownst to me. And they were the crux of everything that I went through, and I had no idea. So when it comes to parasites, the ones that were inhabiting my body were ones that viciously consumed all of the nutrients from my food. So my body has been in constant fight or flight mode, thinking it's always in under attack because it's not receiving any nutrients. So starvation, and what does starvation look like? Hoarding. So that's why my body continued to gain weight, right? And the only time that I would be able to lose weight is when I was restricting and starving myself and over-exercising. And so that my brain was always on endorphins, mm-hmm. and I wasn't fully conscious of what messaging the parasites were sending me. Mm. So in July, I had, I did some testing and we received these results, and I started on this path of a holistic protocol of bilberry and olive leaf and charcoal and killers and taking a bunch of, and also the other thing about the parasites is because my body wasn't fully digesting the food because I was being attacked before I was even able to use it. My stomach was like, oh, well, we don't really mm-hmm. need our HCl anymore. So my, my hydrochloric acid in my stomach, very, very low. So I've been taking HCl pills to up that production. And where I am now, and it's really exciting to share this on the tail end. So I believe that things come into, like you say, universally come into our mind when, or come into our universe when we need them.
Yeah.
In July, when I started this protocol, I went on a retreat, and I was sitting in a group, and I overheard this guy talking about this treatment called Combo. Are you familiar with it?
Can you say
K-A-M, Combo, K-A-M-B-O. No. Combo. So, and I was just like, what's Combo? I had no idea. And then it kept on like coming back into my consciousness, but I didn't know what it was. And I didn't really think to do any research. So long story short, over the past 3 days, I went through 4 Combo ceremonies. So what Combo is, and I'm not going to do the best job explaining it, but it's a sacred medicine that comes from a tree frog from the Amazon. So it is the secretion of the tree frog, and this tree frog has no known enemies. It is no known predators. So it's ultimately fearless, and the indigenous people would use the tree frog before they went out hunting to instill this thing of this feeling of just fearlessness. So what it does is it goes through this ceremony goes through your body. It takes all of the negative stuff out and it purges it from you. So it's very intense. I can show you, I don't know if you can see, but these dots on my arms.
Yeah. I can see them.
So these are gates. So basically the Combo ceremony, it basically is taking the secretion from this tree frog, which essentially is poison, but it's it has a massive number of peptides in it. And it takes the secretion of this and it's placing them on your skin where, they burn the top layer of dermis of your skin and places it on your body. Wow. So what it does, do your research, of course. And if you're listening to this and you're like, interesting, what's Combo? Like, there's lots of bad information out there. There's also good information. If you to learn good information, I would highly recommend that just DM me at Paul Fishman on Instagram. And I will send you to my practitioner because he's phenomenal. But basically what I was really tired of this protocol that I was on. I was really tired of having to take all of these different supplements, spending hundreds of dollars on supplements, not knowing if they were working. I felt like I could just feel the parasites inside me dancing around all day. And the funny thing is parasites are also like, they're energetic beings, and they're really connected to the moon lunar cycle. So that's why when it's a full moon, so many people are like, oh, full moon makes me go crazy. It's really because the parasites inside your body are going crazy and dancing with the full moon.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
yeah. So sometimes if you're with like a really holistic practitioner, they'll put you on a lunar cycle to really go full blown attack during full moon, because that's when the parasites are out to really get them. So, so I've been doing this since July, and I just was like, I can't do this anymore. So I was introduced to this combo practitioner, and my first ceremony was on Saturday. And when I say, so the way you do it is you drink like 2 liters of water before the ceremony. And that holds the energetic space for all the negative junk to go into. I purged parasites that I could see. They were half a centimeter big. They looked like orange shrimp, like coming out of me. And it felt so freeing, and it felt so good. And I mean, maybe it was my job to put that in your atmosphere, combo. You of course need to do it with someone who understands it, and it's not illegal. It's not illegal like ayahuasca. It's not a psychedelic. Mm-hmm. It's just a treatment, a holistic modality. But it changed so much for me. And not only that, but they're like the emotional. Oh, you should have. I wish that I had a picture of the stuff that came out of me. There was black emotional gook that came out of my body that was, I feel, interconnected to the energetics of the parasites living in me.
And they're having fun. You're so right. They are having fun with all the...
They're having fun.
They're taking the supplements, they're traveling with us, right? They're seeing the places through our eyes, and yes, they do eat some of the junk inside of us as well.
Yeah,
otherwise we would die probably from everything that we take.
Everyone has parasites. I just had parasites in the million cells per in my body when I have one parasite was 3 million cells of this parasite in my body when the healthy version is less than 2,000. 3 million. Wow. My nutritionist was like, I don't understand how you're even standing right now. And I was like, I have a strong constitution and will.
Wow. So the parasites made sure that you took your time before you actually found out that they are there. Because I think they're also intelligent enough to know where they should take it easy on the person. Mm-hmm. Because they are also about survival, right? They want to survive. Mm-hmm. So they don't completely kill immediately, and for a long time they can stay there and the person just doesn't know. But I also assume that every single person has parasites.
And everyone does.
Everyone. And I also have been going through this cleansing and fasting, dry fasting. It's also a program. Again, this topic comes up a lot nowadays.
I think it's time. I heard that it's the most... underdiagnosed or misdiagnosed thing. Parasites. It makes sense.
Yeah. Especially I live in India, between India and Russia. And if you come here, you have to assume that yes, 100%. So from time to time, you have to take antiparasitical elements and do this cleansing and enemas and all of that. So
yeah.
So people listen to it carefully. Mm-hmm. You don't need to even diagnose parasites in you. You just assume that you have them. That's it.
Yeah.
And do your purging and cleansing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paul, can I do a little blitz with you? Like favorite this, favorite that?
Sure.
I really would love to know a lot of your favorites. Like what is your favorite book?
I love Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. Oh,
I love Elizabeth Gilbert.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yes, she is. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, my favorite movie from like that I could watch over and over and over again. It's from my childhood, Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Oh my God, I think I watched it. Okay.
So good.
Yes, it is good. What about TV series? What's your favorite TV series, if you have any?
I'm not like a big TV watcher, but I really enjoy like a lot of like the transformation shows, reality shows. Right now, like I'm really enjoying the new show, The Morning Show, which is on Apple TV Plus. Okay. That new Apple.
Yeah. Okay. What about Place on Earth? What is your favorite place on Earth?
Together is my favorite place. Just being with my loved ones, wherever that is.
And then it doesn't matter where.
No.
Okay. What's your favorite self-love practice?
My favorite self-love practice is being alone and like by myself, turning off my cell phone, being alone, like feeling what that feels like. It's really powerful for me.
Wow. What's your favorite song?
I have so many favorite songs. right now, my favorite song that I love, I just recently danced to on one of my Facebook, Instagram lives. It's called Harder by Jack Stone featuring B. Rexha. It's just a really feel good one.
I need to check it out.
Yeah.
What's your favorite piece in your house? Like any furniture maybe or anything?
Yes, so there's a couple of things. So for our wedding, my husband and I had a neon sign made that says together is our favorite place. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And we also have an amazing like couch that could just like spend days on. I love
hanging. Like a love seat, right?
Yeah.
Cool. And since you are a business owner, I cannot not ask, what is your favorite marketing tool?
Well, I mean, I love Instagram for marketing. But I also really love podcasts. I think podcasts are a phenomenal marketing tool, especially being guests on podcasts, because not only do I get to connect with powerful individuals, but I also get to connect with new people, a new audience, and vice versa. I get to share you with my audience when this goes live. I think collaboration is my favorite marketing tool. Collaboration is a key.
Yeah. And it is perfect. Collaboration is I think that's the key to the future, present and the future in the business world and everything.
Right.
And what's your favorite time of the day?
My favorite time of the day is I enjoy like sunset time, it's like just sunsets in Southern California are so beautiful. And I'm sure they're really, they're so beautiful. And it's like, but I also come alive at night. I'm a night owl. So like I come alive. Yeah.
Awesome. And can I also ask, what else is happening in your journey right now? What is happening right now? What is your now and here moment?
Right now, my now and here moment is that I am really present to a book, like writing a book about my journey. I'm really present to that. I've been really resistant to it. But it's knocking at my door regardless of whether or not I'm ready. And I'm also really present to healing. I know like I normally every year in December I do some sort of content upload every single day the first day of December to Christmas. And this December, I'm gonna take December to reset and relax. I've done enough this year. And 2020 is gonna be one hell of a year for me. I already have some, I'm really excited to just travel more, spread my message more, be on more podcasts, write this book, continue healing myself, hosting more retreats, just you know, fulfilling my dreams of of being. I just want, when people think of self-love, I want them to think of Paul Fishman.
Oh, and that's beautiful.
Going to be starting next year, or it's already starting now.
It already started.
Yeah.
For me, it's a strong association. And I think it will be for our listeners as well. I'm really excited to share this podcast with them.
Yes. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, well, how can I get started with self-love? What's my first step? If you go to my website, Paul Fishman, so that's my first name, Paul, last name, fish like the things that swim in the sea, man like me, fishman.love.love. There's a little pop-up, and it's a five-question quiz that you take, and it'll tell you the exact self-love practice that is going to be perfect for you and your day to get you started. And it's between journaling, mantras, and meditation. And once you take the quiz and you find out what's best for you, then I send you either some mantras or a meditation I created or some journaling prompts. So it's just my gift to you to start on that journey, because today is the day. And just like one more last little thing. Yesterday I posted on Instagram that starting over is different than new beginnings. And a lot of people think that to start any journey is have to cut off everything else and just start fresh. And I want you to know that right here and now, if you're listening to this, this message is going to be very potent for you. You are exactly where you are meant to be. You are exactly where you're meant to be. And if anything that I said to you resonated with you, all I ask for you to do is take that, notice it, and do your best to embody it, and take it as a new beginning today and every next day. And you don't have to sacrifice anything to love yourself. You really don't. You don't have to have like a major life change like me. It could just be a shift in your mindset. Like, you know, oh, my kids want a happy mom. That's it. You know, you don't have to move across the country, move back in with your parents, quit your job, like break up with your girlfriend. You don't have to do any of that. Self-love is different for everyone.
Yeah, you know? Just one small step, one foot in front of the other. And then when you look back onto the journey that you took, you'll be like, oh my God, and this is all me.
Yeah.
This is how we don't value all these little steps that we do throughout the day. As you said, you made an appointment, then you followed up, then you send me this. And like, we devalue so many things we do.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This has been such a beautiful conversation that, like, I want to do some self-love right now. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is, just do it.
If you would like to connect with Paul, and I hope you do, I will post all the links in the podcast notes. And if you found this conversation inspiring, please let Paul and me know about it. Your feedback is very important to us, Manifest and Generators 2-4. Yep, I'm also one of those. So thank you for listening to this episode. And I'll talk to you soon about more things that matter. If you are in a relationship right now, whether it is love relationship or friendship, parental, business, any kind, you both can benefit a great deal from relationship reading in Human Design. Actually, I use Human Design Gene Keys and some other secret tools. And we can see into, first of all, your compatibility, the reasons that you've met, what can you teach one another, what pulls you towards each other, and why, and if there is a repulsion. What is the common ground between you two and how to enhance that, and where the possible problems might arise and what to do about them, and how can you help each other grow and in what areas, what both of you are bringing into your relationship, and what is the combination of your energies, where can another person dominate you, and what to do about it. I would really recommend you to inquire about relationship reading, because it can literally save your relationship, enhance it, show you your partner from a completely different side, the side that you will truly start to appreciate. You will understand what makes him or her tick. You will understand why they react the way they react, and how to really become not tolerant, but actually accepting what the other person is. And when you accept the other person, you know that the relationships, they not only become better, but they become more conscious. And the only happy relationship is a conscious relationship. So I'm inviting you to try it out for yourself. Relationship reading. I'll leave my contacts in the notes so you can inquire about it.